Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Well, as you've been hearing in the headlines, the media minister, Catherine Martin, has published three reports this afternoon which involved a forensic examination of RTE. The first was a review of governance and culture led by Professor Niamh Brennan. The second, a review into contractor fees and human resources led by Brendan McGenty. And the third was an examination by the auditing and accounting firm Mazars of the controversial RTE barter account. Well, for some reaction to these reports, I'm joined by Social Democrats TD and Leas Chathaoirleach of the Public Accounts Committee, Catherine Murphy, and Irish Secretary of the National Union of Journalists, Seamus Dooley. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. I might turn to you, Catherine Murphy, first of all, because you spent many hours at the PAC hearings questioning RTE executives and board members over the last number of months about these issues. What is your reaction to the publication of the reports today?
Yeah, I mean, these will be the final reports, so now it's a question of getting down to decisions, both by RTE and also by the government. I mean, if you summarise it, I suppose what they're proposing is more oversight, more transparency, more fairness, and better controls. I think all of them are needed, and it will make a sizable difference if the recommendations are implemented. And I mean, I would expect that they will be.
Is there anything in these reports that shocks you, or has the shock factor just been worn out of everyone?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case, the latter, because like there's some of these things are not a big surprise. It wouldn't be a big surprise, for example, that the recommendation to have the Controller and Auditor General, audit RTE. In fact, that has been something that many of us have spoken about for I think it was June last year when this thing first erupted. Mm-hmm. I suppose one of the things was the additional 674,000 in the barter account that wasn't accounted for. Now that was a surprise, because we'd gone through that in some detail at the Public Accounts Committee. But I mean, I think there are things like, for example, non-disclosure agreements are to be avoided. You know, any exit packages are to be approved of by the board, and the board really does need to take that responsibility. Again, that's something that's been reiterated in many of the reports that have happened up to now. Mm-hmm. And the self-assessment of the board's own performance is, you know, was a failing. And you can see that external assessment every 3 years will make a difference there. But I do think when it comes down to it, the funding of RTE, like I'm concerned that we're going to have some procrastination on this. There's absolutely no reason why government can't indicate the favoured method of funding, assuming that RTE fully implements.
And we'll get on to that in just a second. But let me get an initial reaction to the reports from Seamus Dooley as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, these are detailed reports and they took a long time. There's put a lot of work into them, so we need to do them the justice of forensic analysis. But I think they are very welcome. I think, obviously, my focus is the HR report, and I was pleased that it's not headline grabbing. And in many respects, people outside of RTE may find it boring, but in a good way. It is a practical report which recommends the resetting of HR. In other words, one of the criticisms that we would have had is that the function of HR was marginalised. Decisions were taken at a corporate level which ignored existing agreements and best practice and procedures. And I think a return to normality and operating this organisation in the way that any modern organisation should be existed is essential.
So are you satisfied then that the issue of bogus self-employment at RTE has been addressed in this report?
What has specifically in relation to bogus self-employment is that there is a pathway suggested whereby the Department of Social Protection and RTE would work together to try to address the issue of bogus self-employment. But quite bluntly, the issue of bogus self-employment is a political failure right across this country and not just RTE. I think it is a stain on RTE. There is now a significant Supreme Court ruling, which is going to have to be taken into account. And the idea of appointing a third party that would encourage people to get their act together in RTE is a good one. But the Minister for Social Protection and the government have a role here as well in ensuring that scope are properly resourced and that the issue of bogus employment in the wider economy is addressed.
Can I ask you both, and I'll start with you, Seamus Dooley, about the timeline here, because I think the Taoiseach before the publication was saying that this is where the rubber hits the road, he said. This is where we now look forward. We could have an action plan and an implementation plan, whereas before now we were kind of backward looking. RTE says, but he did say he wanted swift action, and he wanted swift action and acceptance of the recommendations from government and RTE. Now, this afternoon, RTE says it accepts in principle the recommendations made in the two expert advisory committee reports, but that they will sit down and look at the full three reports. Do you have any concerns on the timeline here, the 6 weeks given to review the reports, Seamus?
There is not a hope in hell that this report will be implemented in 6 weeks. It has been accepted in principle. It is extraordinarily complex given the breadth and depth of the report. The fact of the matter is that many of the issues in HR are subject to collective agreements. They're subject to individual contract rights. I would be really concerned at the decision that to postpone any decision on funding until after the European and local elections. That may be good politics, but it does not give any certainty to RTE or to public service broadcasting. Equally, there is a real issue here. That's within a couple of weeks before the Houses of the Oireachtas adjourn for the summer. So I don't think that that delay is conscionable. I really do think that...
Surely the organisation, since they are complex and meaty reports, surely the organisation deserves some time, Catherine Murphy, do you share the same view, to go over them formally and forensically?
Yeah, it's not a question of just going over them. They have to produce a plan as well. So that will require not just a question of saying, yes, we accept them. It's showing how they're going to be implemented, which in some cases will be very quick, but in other aspects it will take time. I think the other thing that will take time as well is that it will require, for example, depending on the funding mechanism that's decided, it may well require a piece of legislation, but it also requires a piece of legislation in relation to who audits the accounts, which is very important as well. The timeline that's been talked about that is that the legislation would be available in the autumn. Now, I think that's pushing it very tight, and it potentially puts it into a new government as opposed to this government. That wouldn't be acceptable.
Would that chime with what the Taoiseach has said in terms of swift acceptance and action?
Well, I think the...
Well, it sounds more to me that it's glancing the road rather than the rubber glancing the road rather than hitting the road, if you like. And this has gone on for far too long, and there's a high degree of certainty needed now, and that's on both the RTE side, but it's also on the government side.
I would point... procrastination from an awful lot of governments, not just this one.
Well, actually. I would point out that if the government is serious about the report having to be accepted, one of the key recommendations of Professor Brennan is that the issue of funding of public service broadcasting by RTE be addressed as a matter of urgency. So over to you, Mr. Harris, because actually it's not just RTE who has to accept that recommendation.
And funding of what? What kind of RTE? Is there clarity on that, in your opinion, from a political point of view?
Well, I think there is clearly a need for an acceptance, a universal acceptance, that we need public service broadcasting.
Has anybody defined what that is, and all the services that maybe, if there were to be cutbacks in terms of services, would the politicians be happy with such cutbacks?
Well, I think that goes back to what Deputy Murphy is saying, is that what we need is a considered review of these reports. The nature of the delivery of that service is what's important. And I think the notion of saying that that can be done in a short period of time, you could do something, but that would actually be cobbling together something. And to be honest, the reason RTE is in this mess is because of a lack of strategy and a considered approach to corporate governance. So I believe that government must now act, accept RTE's in principle in good faith. tell us what the funding model is, and we will not be found wanting as representatives of the workforce. I already, many of the changes recommended by Professor Brennan are in
place. They're working on them, yeah. Okay, says Artie. Anyway, look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Seamus Dooley of the NUJ and Catherine Murphy, the Social Democrats, and Lass Gathaerlich of PAC. Thank you very much indeed.